Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Did you know Bridgestone developed a tire using 75% recycled and renewable materials? Making a difference today for future generations. That's what really matters. Bridgestone, solutions for your journey. Visit whatreallymatters.com to learn more.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
In a world that's perfect, lies a perfect little town where one team stands alone. But now, something's stirring that will change this place forever.
Perfectville.
All right, welcome to Perfectville, your first place podcast for your Miami Dolphins, part of the Believe Network. Presented by BetOnline.ag. I am Sam Marcoux, and the two-time Hall of Famer is not with us. He's actually in Ireland watching his Zach Thomas Cullen play for the United States under the U16 Rugby Championship or whatever the hell they do there. But this is an emergency podcast situation, ladies and gentlemen. It is day two of training camp, and we already have news. And no, it's not Tua's tattoo. It's actual bona fide news. So joining me now, he's a former writer for SI.com and now a contributor to the Perfectville podcast here, Mr. Sean Williams. Sean, how you doing?
Good. I wish we were talking on better terms, but...
Yeah. Yeah. All things considered, you and I speak a lot on the Twitter spaces and we follow each other on social media. And I always appreciate your takes because I think it's very easy to get likes and retweets on Twitter and all the other social media platforms. And I think it's also very easy to be a contrarian for contrarian's sake. And I think sometimes you are a contrarian, but it's not for contrarian's sake. I always appreciate, even with the Dalvin Cook stuff recently, just being honest about, okay, I'm fatigued about this teasing of everything that's going on, either shit or get off the pot and let's move forward. I appreciate your take when it comes to the Miami Dolphins. So I'm really looking forward to talking to you about what looks to be unfortunate news for the Miami Dolphins. And that is because Jalen Ramsey goes down at the end of training camp practice today, 11-on-11 drills going up against Tyreek Hill, comes up hobbling a little bit and eventually is carted off the field. It was a contact injury from everything that we're hearing, which gave me a little bit of hope at first, Sean. But as the day grew long and we saw other players go down and teams come out and immediately jump out and say, this is a minor injury, we heard radio silence about Jalen Ramsey up until recently, where we now know he's going in for an MRI later today or is possibly just finished that. And right before we hit record, Sean, Jalen dropped a little nugget on his Twitter. Yeah, I believe you said it was his Twitter. Can you just read for the audience here, the citizens of Perfectville, what Jalen had to say?
I'm sorry. Already there's another update straight from Adam Schefter. I mean, Jalen Ramsey did drop a tweet that said he'll be back from this minor injury. Which didn't sound great. Adam Schefter just tweeted that Jalen Ramsey is going to undergo surgery on his knee, but his ACL is intact. No more descriptive than that. So I have no idea what a timetable would be. But a knee injury doesn't sound great.
No, a knee injury for a defensive back who relies on his legs for a lot of the motion that he does doesn't sound great. So very interesting here because the ACL is what everyone's mind goes to with this type of injury, non-contact or otherwise. But it does sound like his ACL is intact, which I guess leads the MCL and the PCL or possibly a torn meniscus. I think all of those, you know, a meniscus can happen, especially in runners. It's kind of a, you know, a contact injury, so to speak, or at least a wear and tear injury of some sort. That's where my mind goes with this. If he's having surgery, he's obviously going to be out for some amount of time. If it's not the ACL, maybe the knee is stable enough that he can come back at some point during this season. But what does your gut tell you right off the bat here, Sean? ACL intact, going into surgery, tweet saying he'll come back from this. What's that tell you?
I would imagine they will, not that it's the same situation, I imagine they'll treat it a lot like the Byron Jones situation in the sense that they can leave themselves a door open. So I could see them putting him on PUP, which means he's out till week four, instead of going on IR or whatever. But I can't see him being ready before probably the last third of the season. I mean, regardless of what the knee injury is, that's going to take recovery time. That's going to take rehab time. And then after rehab's done, you have to condition. You have to, you know, do the strength stuff. I still think there's a world where he could miss the entire season, depending on how well that goes. And I think as Dolphins fans, after last year seeing what transpired with the Byron Jones situation, it's hard to err on the side of hopefulness, especially when it comes to a knee.
Yeah. Sean came in here and within 5 minutes has dropped the B word on everybody when it comes to the defensive backfield and Byron Jones. But I think you're right with regards to, at least right now, with the information that we have, which is unfolding in real time as we record right now. That sounds like a plausible plan. And I would imagine that if you were to go to betonline.ag right now, you would see the odds for the Miami Dolphins Super Bowl going down. And that's because BetOnline is your number one source for all your betting needs. Get your latest odds, lines, and matchups reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting in your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device today and sign up and get your 50% welcome bonus with our promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V. Bet Online, where the game starts. Well, I don't really want to go to Bet Online right now, as much as I love them for sponsoring this show for many, many years. And that's because it is going to be depressing to see that line for the Miami Dolphins start to dip just because of this injury alone. Is this the worst case scenario? Granted, you have Tua Tagovailoa, you've got Tyreek Hill, you've got Jalen Waddle, you've got Xavien Howard on somewhat of a lesser extent, but this was the new toy, Sean. This was the toy that we went out and traded for. I mean, we didn't give up a lot of draft capital, but he was supposed to be the guy that shored up the back of this. He was supposed to be that cornerstone of the Vic Fangio defensive shell with all of his defensive backs back there. And we didn't even get a chance to see him, at least not yet. I don't want to be too doom and gloom yet, but it does look like he will not be ready for week one against the Chargers. He's certainly dealing with an injury on day two. Injuries happen. You knew this was going to happen to a name on the Miami Dolphins somewhere, but just from a morale standpoint, from an aesthetic standpoint, Sean, is this the worst case scenario for the Miami Dolphins and their fans?
I mean, for a fan base that it seems like year in and year out, there's something, there's just something that messes around. I mean, if it wasn't, you know, all the stuff with Brian Flores and then, you know, last year, just the injury bug hit us in a way that I haven't seen in a long time. Now this year's probably the most optimistic this fan base has been able to be probably since the mid-80s.
Yeah.
And to start training camp off on the second day with this, it's devastating. I don't want to pretend that all of a sudden the season's over. I think when you lose arguably your second best player on the roster, you're going to suffer from it. But I mean, the Dolphins were half a drive away from beating the Bills in the wild card with an undrafted free agent at quarterback. So I don't want to let this spiral as a mentality going into the season, but it's something we're going to miss because, I mean, you look at how much Xavien Howard suffered last year without having Byron Jones on the opposite side. Granted, he won't be asked to play that same man coverage, but the ability for them to play off each other was going to be huge, especially for two guys who know how to go and find the football.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's so many angles to this right now that, my mind is swirling as to where to even start. And I guess we'll just start with the injury itself. I mean, Tyreek Hill, Jalen Ramsey, I think all of us were, you know, laughing about this when we made the trade for Jalen Ramsey about, wow, imagine practice. This is just going to be practice. But yeah, I mean, I think it was you that made a point here earlier today is why are they even out there? Why are they practicing? Why are they doing physical drills one-on-one or 11 on 11 or 7-on-7, especially with veterans like Tyreek Hill and Jalen Ramsey, who are both going to the Hall of Fame, who probably know how to get themselves right in a very short amount of time. I mean, yes, you need conditioning. Yes, you need to understand, you know, in this case for Jalen Ramsey, the defensive side of the ball with Vic Fangio. But, you know, is it just too much for these veterans to go out there and do this? I mean, Teron Armstead, he could probably suit up if there was a game tomorrow, but he's on the PUP right now because why? Why does he need to go out there and possibly injure himself further than what he's at right now in terms of a beat up body? So the Miami Dolphins, and I think Teron have made a business decision that I'm just not going to practice until I really, really need to. Why is Jalen Ramsey out there? Why is Tyreek Hill out there? Why are they up against each other? Or am I just hindsight being 2020 pissed off because Jalen Ramsey got hurt?
I don't know. I honestly, in this new age of analytics and all these things, I could see it getting to a point. I mean, look, you like a huge part of football is tackling, right? Nobody's tackling anybody in training camp. So you're not even practicing that part of football. I could see this continually getting trimmed down because, I mean, you're losing so much from one of these. Like, imagine Joe Burrow went down today. Imagine if that was more than a calf sprain. Like, that changes the trajectory of the entire season. I know that was a non-contact, but it's going to get to a point where I think some of these teams might be more and more cautious. You go back a couple of years ago and Xavier Howard was playing the, oh, I have a sprain or whatever when he wanted a contract. Well, he missed pretty much the entire training camp. He was fine that season. He played at a high level. So, I mean, go through walkthroughs, go through installs, you know, get conditions, go through workouts, all those things, but you're putting two highly competitive guys, Jalen Ramsey and Tyreek Hill, who are over the past 10 years at the very top of their positions, and you're asking them to go battle. They're probably not going to hold back. I mean, that's their competitive nature. That's what got them to be where they are. So I just don't see the benefit. I don't.
Yeah. You know, it's so funny the language that people use too, because the first thing you hear is that he went down and I immediately think non-contact. He got his cleat caught or he went the wrong way while his knee stayed put and it's done, it's toast. And then you hear, oh, he collided with Tyreek Hill, and you think, oh, okay, it's a bruise or, you know, some sort of contusion. And then I heard they got tangled up. And then my mind went back to almost that first part of, well, wait, did they hit each other or did they get tangled up? Because those are two different physical motions. And one tells me it's going to be more of a contusion and one tells me we don't know what it is, which we're getting more information by the minute now. By the way, side note, it's not lost on me that apparently Tyreek Hill has not learned his lesson about hitting people in South Florida. He needs to stop doing that immediately. He needs to give Jalen Ramsey $200, say he's sorry, and move on. Where did the Miami Dolphins go from here? Let's just assume, worst case scenario, he's out for the season, or he's out for a significant amount of time. Let's say up to week 10, week 11, the bye week, whatever the case may be. What do the Miami Dolphins do? I mean, I was joking because they signed what seemed to be every single defensive back available to them, both that was already on the roster last year or available here this offseason, plus trading for Jalen Ramsey. They have a lot of warm bodies. They have a lot of people coming back from injury, like Trill Williams. Is that the answer? Or are they just going to go next man up and put them out on not an island because they're not really doing a lot of man-to-man in this scheme, but who takes the Jalen Ramsey place until Jalen Ramsey can come back?
Yeah, so the past few years, I remember going into last season, I was uncomfortable with the depth at cornerback because in that man zero blitz scheme, it is so heavily reliant on top coverage. So we really couldn't afford to lose the Byron Jones. And we all saw what happened when we did. It put so much stress on Howard that he got one groin injury and then another. This situation is going to be a bit different because we're going to be playing primarily zone. But again, going back to last year, what did Chris Greer do to remedy the situation of not getting Byron back, losing Nick Needham? He did nothing. I mean, he signed Mackenzie Alexander, got hurt on the first day and never replaced them. It just kept being like a promotion of street free agents off the practice squad. I don't want to see that again. Sure, we have Kader Kohou, who is primed for a big sophomore year. We have a rookie in Cam Smith where we don't really know what we have there. Trey Williams is back. But Nick Needham, who we re-signed, is coming off an Achilles injury just like Byron Jones was. He's starting training camp on PUP. We don't know how he's going to recover. So all of a sudden, our deepest position isn't looking so deep. I would say the role that Jalen Ramsey was going to play, which I believe was a lot of the star Joker role, roaming the field, making plays, I could really see Trey Williams in that role. Obviously, he's not going to be the same level of production, but I do think that that might be the person they had in mind to kind of learn that behind him. But we'll have to see.
Well, as we talked about earlier, the news is evolving here. So, Sean, what I'm seeing from Tom Pelissero, that it is a meniscus injury. He's scheduled to be out 6 to 8 weeks because of this surgery. Doctors, once they get in there, will determine whether they need to repair it or remove it altogether. If they repair it, it'll actually be a longer recovery than removing it altogether. So I'm willing to bet they're probably going to remove it. But it does look like a minimum 6 to 8 weeks. So we are going to have a contingency plan. We are going to have a plan B, whether that be Trill Williams or somebody else. I'm concerned how this would actually cascade down to our run defense in many ways, because when I look at a Vic Fangio scheme, and I know you know ball way better than I do, but to me, every time I look at this and when I read on it, you need defensive backs and corners that can tackle, and that when your defensive interior linemen, you know, have a gap and a half and they actually are pushing those running backs to the outside, you need your outside linebackers and your defensive backs to be able to come up, secure the tackle, put them to the ground. Jalen Ramsey does that. Xavien Howard, to an extent, does that, but not as well, especially now that he's older, in my opinion. I actually think he's a better tackler than most people give him credit for, but you're shaking your head violently. So obviously, like I said, you know ball more than I do. I'll defer to you.
I just don't want him to tackle.
Sure, fair enough. Yeah.
Stay away from the contact. Like, just do what you do really well, and I'll take the hit on the tackling.
Yeah, so with Jalen Ramsey being out for quite some time, like you said, Trill Williams might be the guy that needs to step up and be that person that can do that. I'm also wondering if this changes the role at all for Brandon Jones. You know, this is a guy who can come up and blitz. This is a guy who is very solid in his tackling game, and I think he's much more of a line of scrimmage safety, if there's such a thing, than he is a coverage safety. I'm wondering if his role changes or evolves a little bit to help mask this a little bit until Jalen comes back. And even if he comes back at 6 weeks or 8 weeks, to your point, where's he going to be? You know, he's never played in a Fangio defense directly. He's going to need some time to, like you said, recover, get himself back into shape. And then he's got to learn the playbook. Hopefully he's doing that while he's, you know, down for a little while. But yeah, I'm really concerned. It's funny because you think of Jalen Ramsey and you go, wow, what's that going to do for Stephon Diggs and, you know, Aaron Rodgers and his, you know, a bunch of weapons up there in New York. And I'm thinking, man, this is really going to screw up our run defense more so than I think anybody might give it credit for. Am I wrong in thinking that, or am I on?
No, that's a great point. And you saw that in Denver, and there's a lot of clips out there describing how the Fangio defense works. And it's exactly what you said. You're pushing the running backs to the outside and your cornerbacks are making plays on the edges. I don't know that we have that outside of Trill Williams, who is exactly that. He is a hard hitter. Yeah. I don't know if you remember last year in preseason. I think it was even the game he got hurt in. He was out there flying around making tackles. He's that type of guy. I've been watching him since his days at Syracuse, which is my favorite college team up here in Western New York. He can do that. I don't know that. I mean, Cam Smith is pretty light. He's pretty undersized. I do know he makes the effort to tackle, but this is the NFL. This isn't, you know, South Carolina anymore. Caterco, I don't know. There was also speculation with this defense that you're going to get rid of the traditional idea of cornerbacks, like three cornerbacks and two safeties. What you're going to see more often is the Dolphins playing the five best defensive backs at a given time. So I do think there's a couple options. You alluded to Brandon Jones. I could see Verone McKinley stepping up into more of a role. Who he was coming on, you know, a lot stronger towards the end of the year last year. I think it's going to be kind of trial by fire. The only issue is I don't know who our boundary cornerback is if Cam Smith gets hurt or Xavien Howard gets hurt. So I do think you're going to be forced to look outside the organization. Hopefully Greer does that.
Did you know Bridgestone developed a tire using 75% recycled and renewable materials? Making a difference today for future generations. That's what really matters. Bridgestone, solutions for your journey. Visit whatreallymatters.com to learn more.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie, and fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Well, and that's actually where I wanted to go next, so a segue, first time on the show, and you're hitting exactly where I wanted to go. But Verone McKinley, just as a side note, we got him as an undrafted free agent last year, which I was shocked that he actually was not drafted, but I was a big fan of him as a rookie, and I know he was a little bit slow to get there, but like you said, he came on and actually became a big part of this defense towards the end of the year because he had to more than anything else. But I think they see value in him. He's going to contribute this year, just as a side note. That's a guy, if you're looking for a breakout star, I think that's probably going to be the guy, more so than a lot of the other ones, at least in my opinion, as long as he stays healthy. But you mentioned it, and so I want to go there. You know, obviously Dalvin Cook is the prize that a lot of the Dolphins fans want. I'm kind of like you at this point. I'm like, you know, either sign with the Jets, sign with Miami or something, but please stop putting little emojis on Twitter and flooding my timeline with false hope or, you know, narratives that aren't really going to happen. Obviously right now, if they have to go outside of the organization to get help for Jalen Ramsey, there's not a lot on the free agent market right now. Also, a lot of that money that maybe was earmarked for a Dalvin Cook to say yes, priorities change. I mean, at this point, it looks like Dalvin is leaning towards going to the Jets anyway. But is that offer now officially pulled if you're the Miami Dolphins and say, sorry, we got bigger fish to fry right now and we got to go get a Jalen Ramsey Band-Aid. So Dalvin, we'll see you two times a year.
Yeah, I think for me, Dalvin Cook was never essential for us to make the Super Bowl run that a lot of these fans and myself included think we're capable of. For me, it was always just, it seems all our chips are pushed to the table. Why not? Just why not add that final piece? It was a luxury for me. I think right now priorities have changed. Maybe, I mean, at this point in the offseason, there's not going to be a ton out there, but you look at somebody maybe like Bryce Callahan, who has played with Fangio in Denver before, maybe like a Ronald Darby. But like you said, it's not a deep list of guys that are available.
Yeah. Is there another strategy that they could employ other than just a port of a defensive back coming in? Is there another linebacker that they could go find and say, okay, this could be, you know, we're going to have to change what we normally do? Or like you said, I mean, I love what you said about it's going to be the five, you know, possibly the top five defensive backs. I don't give Dave Wannstedt a lot of credit for a lot of things other than maybe the downfall of the Miami Dolphins for two decades. But 1 year he did mention that he was going to play the five best offensive linemen, regardless of position. And it sounds stupid on its head because if you have a center and you have a left tackle, you put your center and your left tackle there and you let the rest go. But that particular season, a lot of it had to do with Ricky Williams as well. We had a pretty damn good offensive line. And I was like, okay, fair enough. He kind of figured out how to get the most out of like a Tim Ruddy and everybody else. But I don't know, man. It's one of those things where we need more information. We need time to process. We need to see them practice for another week and see, okay, can they do this or not? But at least you're throwing names out there. Bryce Callahan is the first one that you said there. And, you know, it might be a name to take a look at and see if that's something that they could go get. You know, I think the Dalvin Cook dream, if it wasn't already dead, is probably very much on life support. Oxygen levels very low, probably cardiac arrest at this point. Also, side note, Western New York, you're a Miami Dolphins fan and you're wearing a Boston Red Sox hat. So you are just enemy of the state up there in the Big Apple, are you not?
Absolutely, yeah. I live very directly in Bills country. I have to deal with that 365 days out of the year, especially when I go to the games. Red Sox, Lakers, the only New York team for me is Syracuse.
Yeah. Well, I'm a Lakers fan as well. And I think I knew that about you because during the Eastern Conference and Western Conference finals, I was finding myself liking a lot of your posts, especially in the face of a lot of fellow Finn fans that happen to be Heat fans as well. But, well, all right. So right now, this news is, we're just chewing on it right now, Sean, but what does this do to your outlook for the Miami Dolphins right now, just in that bubble of Jalen Ramsey is hurt? He's out for a minimum 6 to 8 weeks, which, you know, like you said, that probably puts him in pup category, I'm assuming. If that's 6 to 8 weeks, which it should factor in preseason, that probably means coming back after four games if all goes well. So all hope isn't lost if that news is actually correct. But what does that do to the season outcome for the Miami Dolphins? I had them around 10 or 11 wins. I think there was a lot of games last year that they could have won that they lost. And of course, a lot of games that they won that they could have lost if it just wasn't the sheer amount of talent that they had that kind of just fixed some things. But does this change anything? Does this go a game up or down for you? Or what's your gut tell you?
So I think we have about 6 weeks till week one, all things considered. So I hate speculating, but let's say he comes back sometime around week four, week five. It doesn't really change anything for me. I personally had them at 11 to 12 wins, right there in the running for the division and making a deep playoff run. And you know me, I'm pretty objective as you can be for a fan of your team. It just felt like all our ducks were lining in a row. The team is as loaded as can be, and I really believe that people underestimate the Vic Fangio addition. I don't know that it changes my overall outlook on the season yet. It's going to be, unfortunately, just like last year with Byron Jones, a wait and cross your fingers and hope he's back. If he doesn't come back, I don't know. It depends on the health of Xavien Howard making it through a full season and these other guys.
Yeah. I mean, unfortunately it's day two. We got a long way to go through training camp into preseason. We could probably will see more injuries. Hopefully nothing super serious, obviously. And again, if you lose a superstar like Tyreek or Jalen Waddle or Tua again, all bets are off. But I don't know. I think, Jalen Ramsey to me, and even I've said this about Xavien Howard for a long time, Sean, is Xavien Howard, if I could give a comp, would be is the Jonathan Quick, who was a goalie for the Los Angeles Kings for many, many years of the NFL. And what I mean by that is if you watch Jonathan Quick and his technique, he's good. He's very good. But his athleticism was what made him great during his prime. He could just get from one pole to the next and block something that you'd be like, how in the hell did he do that? When I watch Xavien Howard play, it almost like he goads these quarterbacks into throwing the ball because he gives some separation, knowing damn well that he can close and get that ball. But as that athleticism starts to wear off and dwindle a little bit as he gets older, giving that gap just isn't going to be able to happen as much, right? So you're going to have to learn how to play the game differently. It's almost like a power pitcher that now starts working on the corners. You know, instead of doing strikeouts, they're getting ground outs because they've learned how to pitch as opposed to throw. I think that's where we are with Xavien Howard. I think him going into more of a zone coverage is going to be a little bit different for him, but I think it's going to help extend his career a little bit, especially if he's healthy. Last year, he was not healthy. On top of everything else, he wasn't healthy, right? He had two groins that were pulled at some point. The groin muscles there and ligaments. So he just wasn't himself. So assuming that he's healthy and can stay relatively healthy this season, as he said to his critics, fuck him. I think the team will be okay, assuming they don't sustain any more, humongous injuries to either the offense or defensive side of the ball with their superstars. I kind of disagree on the Dalvin Cook thing in that I think that I've said on this show here that the Miami Dolphins don't need Dalvin Cook to win games in the regular season, but they do need somebody like a Dalvin Cook to help them win games in the playoffs. And I think he gives them that threat. So I think there's also the maybe their ability to screw it. We're going to win games 35-33. We're going to go get Dalvin Cook. We're going to pull him back from New York. And if we can't beat him with our defense, then we're going to beat him with our offense because we're going to have so many weapons. At least from a PR standpoint, short term, that would help a lot of Miami Dolphins fans from walking off a cliff right now if news broke that Dalvin Cook was coming back to the 305. But I still have him around 9-10. You know, I think he's worth at least a win, you know, win above replacement. So if I was going to have him at 11, I'll probably drop him to 10. I still think they're in the playoffs. If he comes back earlier than maybe everyone's thinking in terms of half a season or something like that, then I think they're going to be sitting pretty. Switching gears since I have you here, and we are talking to Sean Williams, former writer for SI.com, now contributor for the Believe Network here on the Perfectville podcast. Just talking Jalen Ramsey, talking ball, as Sean likes to say. What have you seen so far outside of the Jalen Ramsey injury? I know it's been 2 days, but you've been following the team closely. What have you seen that's impressed you? What have you seen or heard that makes you go, uh-oh, with the Miami Dolphins with relation to training camp?
So, obviously, I would say for most fans, our area of concern is the offensive line. With Teron Armstead not practicing, it's hard to put a judgment on that. I know they're kind of playing a little bit of musical chairs along that. I'm one of the very few fans that I think grasps the concept of why the Dolphins, specifically Mike McDaniel, has talked about it for 2 years now. He's not concerned about the offensive line. And I think if you look at San Fran and the system that McDaniel comes from, it's not a system that requires a ton of this all pro offensive line. If you look at the Niners this year, what they have, Jake Brendel, Aaron Banks, and a couple guys I've never even really heard of on their offensive line. We have the same thing. And we have a quick passing, one of the best quick passing quarterbacks in the NFL. So the offensive line isn't too concerning for me. It has to do with injury, right? Like, Is David Long going to stay healthy now?
Sure.
All of a sudden, if we lose him, we have Jerome Baker and Duke Riley and what else? Same thing like last year. So I haven't seen anything through 2 days, mostly because fans haven't even been able to attend yet. I was just looking forward to having Dolphins football, you know, on the news feed again every day. But for me, it's still a little bit too early to judge.
Yeah,
I like to give it about 2 weeks, a couple padded practices. We get the first preseason game. Not that we're going to see many starters, but just to get like a good feel for where we're at.
What do you think of the who touched it first gate between was it Javon Holland and not Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle? The pass that can just, I don't know, for some reason, Tua Tagovailoa has got to be the most polarizing figure in the NFL, if not sports right now. Maybe LeBron James is more polarizing in general, but everyone has an opinion on Tua Tagovailoa. There is no middle ground. It is, you are either in this camp or you're in that camp. He throws the ball, and now you have beat reporters like Omar Kelly saying, well, they sped it up to make it look better. They slowed it down. Of course they slowed it down. We can see when they slow it down, when they speed it up, but I don't think it was to make it look better. But then you had people jumping on Alan Poupar because he mistakenly said Javon Holland touched the ball prior to, and it's like, who cares? Like, he didn't have the ability of replay. Like, can't we just enjoy the fact that it was a fun acrobatic play and seemed like everyone involved was doing their job and they did a great job? I mean, that's like the best case scenario, because every time a guy catches a touchdown pass in practice, you're like, okay, now I'm concerned about the cornerbacks. And then every time a ball is broken up, you're like, okay, what's going on with my quarterback and my wide receivers? This was like the best case scenario, Sean. I can't understand why we just can't be happy when happy things happen for us.
Yeah. I mean, you just nailed it right on the head, where it was a good play by Holland. It was a great play by Waddle. I thought it was a good throw by Tua. And ultimately, I thought we were past this. Like, if I really wanted to criticize Tua's throws, I have what, 12, about 12 games worth of film I could go watch from last year. I just don't know what we're doing. I thought we were past this. I thought we were like, all right, as long as Tua stays healthy, he was in the MVP conversation, he led the NFL in pass rating, we're good. We don't need to talk about Tua's throws anymore. Honestly, if the Dolphins media team, and I wouldn't put it past them, put out a video of him throwing the ball in the dirt, I don't really care. Like, it does nothing for me. Like, I know who Tua is at this point in terms of a quarterback throwing the ball. For me, it's just, hey, you got to stay healthy. You got to be available in the playoffs. So I don't know what maybe people are bored. And I think drama sells. It sells. Yeah. It always has. People just love something to argue about.
They do. And we'll ask you one more question. We'll let you get back to it. But I don't know if you have the schedule in front of you, but your prediction now with Jalen Ramsey officially having surgery and being out for some sort of time, what week does he come back? When does Jalen Ramsey make his Miami Dolphins debut in the regular season?
When's our bye week?
We don't have a bye week until I think we're like week 11 or week 12.
After the Chiefs, right?
Yes.
I think it's after Germany.
So you think it's after Germany? That would put him against the Raiders.
So I'm looking at it right now. I have to believe it's not before week six. I like the week six. I got to see like what specifically that game is.
Yep.
But I have to give it a couple weeks cushion because I feel like even outside of Miami, right? Like Tre'Davious White was apparently ready to start the season last year, but they kept him on PUP for 4 weeks. He didn't come back till like week eight for the Bills.
Yeah.
We saw what happened with Byron Jones. So maybe the right around the Giants and Panthers games in week five or six, and that would give him some time to knock the rust off to be ready for a huge game against the Eagles.
Yeah. So I think you're right. I was circling that Panthers game because it's a home game. You know, if it's 50-50 on the road or a home, you're going to want to have him at home. I think he's going to want that energy. They're going to want to give him that energy. I think the Panthers is a favorable matchup to come back into and say, okay, I'm now going to play before you have that Eagles game like you talked about. That does give you a little bit of a cushion if he does come off PUP a little bit later than those 4 weeks minimum, just to make sure that he's ready to go. I think that October 15th game, which is actually my birthday weekend, so I think that would be a nice gift for me is if he went in and, beat the crap out of the Panthers at home. I think that's where I'm going to go with. I'm going to go with that Panthers week six game. I think you're reading my mind here.
Yeah. So, and I think it gives us some peace of mind to where you don't get your hopes up and you're not disappointed that he's not ready for like week two, week three. You're giving yourself some cushion, which I actually tried to do last year with Byron Jones, but he just never came back. And I hate bringing him up, but I mean, we're a year removed from that. So there's some definite recency PTSD, but.
Well, I mean, he's never been heard of. He's retired, I think, at this point, if not officially, unofficially. Yeah. I think he officially retired. But let's just hope it doesn't go that route. I mean, we've had some pretty good luck with acquisitions over the last couple of years, but we've also had some pretty shitty luck when it comes to like Will Fuller and Byron Jones. Never really panned out, even though he was here for a couple of seasons. And now, you know, Jalen Ramsey not starting off the way you would want if you're a Miami Dolphins fan or teammate, coach, front office person. But Sean, tell everyone where they can find you on Twitter or anywhere else you want to promote.
Yeah, so I'm at Sean Williams on Twitter, but the S is a 5 because it's a common name. And then you can look out for me. I'm a freelance writer, occasionally contribute at SI.com, and now I occasionally contribute here. So I'm around, easy to find, definitely always have an opinion, some good takes, so.
Yeah, we need you to be a little more outgoing online, Sean, if you could. I mean, I don't know if anybody knows where you stand on certain topics when it comes to the Miami Dolphins and outside of Miami Dolphins news as well. But Sean Williams, thank you very much. Just for everyone to know, because we like to keep the citizens informed. We're recording this right now. I'm on the West Coast. You're obviously on the western part of New York on the East Coast here. So it's going on, 7 o'clock your time, if I'm not mistaken. I think I texted you on Twitter about 10 minutes before we hopped on here to start recording this here show. So thank you very much for hopping on and talking ball when it came to Jalen Ramsey, the Miami Dolphins in general, and a little bit of just, everybody hates the Celtics talk between two Lakers fans here. So, all right, Sean, thank you so much. And for everybody else, the only thing left to say on behalf of myself, the 2-time Hall of Famer, who's not here, Sean Williams, presented by betonline.ag and everyone here at believe.com. Goodbye from Perfect Bill.
Did
Did you know Bridgestone developed a tire using 75% recycled and renewable materials? Making a difference today for future generations. That's what really matters. Bridgestone, solutions for your journey. Visit whatreallymatters.com to learn more.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie, and fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist, you'll want to invite everyone over. From book club to reality TV watch parties, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is infused with 2 times more essential oil versus regular Airwick Essential Mist for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is perfectly portable and effortlessly easy. The way fragrance should be. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.